Hello friends, welcome to the Forager Worldwide podcast. In this space, we plant seeds for positive change, helping you cultivate a healthier and more sustainable life. In a world saturated with toxins, advertisements, and misinformation, it's easy to overlook the impact our lifestyle has on our bodies, our wellness, and on the environment. I'm your host, Flor, and I'm here to guide you through essential knowledge and simple tips you can take for personal and environmental healing, allowing you to simplify, detoxify, and radiate. This way, we can illuminate the path towards an informed, abundant, and toxic-free future. This episode was recorded on land originally and still inhabited and cared for by the Tongva, Tataviam, Marayam, Kich, and Chumash peoples. We honor and pay respects to their elders and descendants, past, present, and emerging, as they continue their stewardship of the lands and waters that nurture Southern California. In the last episode, we talked about why shopping can be such a distracting experience. And today we're going to shift the focus to food, and more specifically, food additives. When I talk about food additives, I'm referring specifically to substances that are added to food products, but these substances are not actual food ingredients. So, for example, if you eat a granola bar, some of the whole food ingredients might be oats and sugar and other ingredients that if you flip over the label, you'll recognize as food. But on the same label, you might see some other ingredients that are harder to recognize. So in sum, today's episode focuses on those non-food ingredients. To focus today's conversation, we're going to be specifically talking about artificial food additives, meaning these are chemicals that are 100% synthetic, not made from naturally occurring food products, yet they're added to our food. We're going to be talking about three big categories. Number one, artificial colors. Number two, artificial flavors. And number three, preservatives. One of the reasons that food additives are so important to pay attention to is that they're very common in today's food marketplace. These artificial food additives can be found in a type of food product called ultra-processed foods, or UPFs for short. Ultra-processed foods are industrially produced foods that contain ingredients that are not available in home kitchens. And these ultra-processed foods are the main source of refined carbohydrates and added fats in our modern food supply. And they carry some pretty scary consequences, especially when you realize how common these modified foods are. In the United States, some research estimates that about 60% of daily calories consumed by adults come from these ultra-processed foods. So for an adult who consumes, let's say, 2,000 calories a day, that would mean that about 1,200 of those calories are coming from these ultra-processed foods that are full of chemicals. That same study estimated that in kids and teenagers, about 70% of all calories consumed on a daily basis come from ultra-processed foods, meaning that both children and adults are getting a majority of their calories from industrially produced foods that are full of artificial chemicals. So now that we've got that really horrific statistic out of the way, let's talk more about what these chemicals are. So to start off, I'd like to focus on artificial colors. If you've ever eaten a bag of Hot Cheetos or any popular chip that you can find at the grocery store, you've probably eaten these artificial colors. They're common in so many products, including sodas, candies, breakfast cereals, and pretty much any food item that you can find in a gas station convenience store. When you eat something that has artificial colors, it's really easy to be wowed by the brilliancy and strength of the color. And this is all thanks to artificial food dyes. One of the most common food dyes used in the United States is Red Number 40. And if you've ever eaten a bag of hot Cheetos, you've eaten this chemical before. Red Number 40 is used for giving bright red colors, and this dye is so strong that if you've ever eaten chips or had something that has this dye, you'll notice it might stain your lips, tongue, or fingers red. When you see this and other artificial food dyes listed on ingredient labels, you might see it listed as FD&C Red 40. FD&C stands for the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, and it's one of the laws in the United States that allows these artificial colors to be placed in food. The next artificial color I'm going to talk about is Yellow Number 5. Not only does this artificial dye give food bright yellow colors, but it also has some pretty scary side effects. Some researchers have found that eating Yellow Number 5 damages human white blood cells, meaning that it hurts your body's ability to fight off infection. This same study found that Yellow Number 5 damaged the DNA of these white blood cells and caused them to mutate over time, increasing the risk of developing tumors and possibly even cancer. Not only does Yellow Number 5 pose risks to the physical body, but other studies suggest it may cause more psychological effects. In some studies done on lab rats, it was found that giving them a daily dose of Yellow Number 5 caused hyperactivity in the animal models, and this study actually inspired other studies done on humans, which have suggested that Yellow Number 5 may contribute to hyperactivity in children, suggesting that children that have developmental disorders or ADHD may be extremely sensitive to Yellow Number 5. More research is needed on the topic, but a review done by Harvard and Columbia University in 2004 estimated that removing artificial food colorings from the diets of children with ADHD and hyperactivity disorders would be about half as effective as treatment with Ritalin, which is a common drug prescribed for hyperactivity in children. So, even though more studies are needed, there's enough evidence to suggest that kids should not be consuming these chemicals. Unfortunately, in the United States, avoiding these artificial dyes is easier said than done, especially because they're so common. With Yellow Number 5, if you've ever had super processed pastry goods like Twinkies or super brightly colored neon sodas like Mountain Dew or different kinds of Gatorade and Powerade or bright colored candy from like Starburst to M&M's to Skittles and even breakfast cereals like Captain Crunch and whatever the one with the rabbit is. These all have Yellow Number 5, and there are so many examples that the next time you go into a convenience store, I invite you to pick up a package of anything that looks colorful and flip it over, and chances are you'll find Yellow Number 5 on the back of that package. Yellow Number 5 and Red 40 both have such concerning health effects that in the European Union, regulators require food containing these artificial dyes to carry a warning label for consumers, indicating that the dye may have a negative impact on activity and attention in children. Now, the last artificial color I'm going to talk about is blue, specifically Blue Number 1 and Blue Number 2. If you've ever had something that's flavored blue raspberry, I can guarantee you've eaten Blue Number 1. Other common places you can find Blue Number 1 is in breakfast cereals, juice drinks, soft drinks, and frozen dairy desserts. So, anytime you see a bright blue color, it's probably Blue Number 1. Some studies suggest that Blue Number 1 might have toxic effects on the brain, while other studies suggest that Blue Number 1 may cause allergic reactions in people with highly sensitive diets. And these allergic effects can be internal and external, including skin rashes and hives on the outside and nasal congestion internally. So these dyes cause health effects inside and out, and the evidence that does exist on the toxic nature of these artificial colorants is enough to motivate me to steer clear of any products that contain these artificial ingredients. It is something that I proactively avoid when shopping. Now, I want to acknowledge that the three that I just covered are the most common found in food products. Yet there are other artificial colors that exist on the marketplace, and not all of them are in food either. One place that I was particularly shocked to find artificial colorants was in over-the-counter drugs, specifically with cough syrup and ibuprofen. I noticed a lot of these products are also brightly colored. The syrup is bright red or a weird purple, and some of the ibuprofen tablets are bright pink or orange, and lo and behold, when I flipped over the box to read the ingredient label, I noticed under inactive ingredients were these artificial colors. So I invite you to scrutinize and question not only the food, but any brightly colored thing that you can buy at the store that is meant for you to eat or consume. Question it because it is really worth avoiding these artificial colors. Next, let's talk about artificial flavors. Put simply, an artificial flavor is any non-natural substance that is used to create flavors in foods, beverages, and medications. This means that artificial flavors can be made up of pretty much anything that's not a natural substance, and it can be really hard to identify where these flavors come from. Artificial flavors are really popular with food and medication manufacturers because they're typically less expensive to produce and are more shelf stable. Many of the times that you see artificial flavors used, you'll literally read the word artificial flavor on the ingredient label, but other times it can be harder to distinguish. Now, the first artificial flavor that I'm going to name is one called aspartame. If you are a fan of diet sodas, you have consumed aspartame. And this is an artificial sweetener that can also be found in a variety of sugar-free products, from yogurts to breakfast cereal, toothpaste, chewing gum, gelatin, and even ice cream. In 2023, the International Agency for Research on Cancer classified aspartame as possibly carcinogenic, meaning that it might contribute to cancer risk. When it comes to non-cancer health effects, there are some studies that suggest aspartame may have some health effects on the brain. Specifically, studies cite headaches, depression, and more irritable mood as effects of eating aspartame. Now that we've covered the sweet flavor, let's move on to a savory artificial flavor. One of the most commonly used food additives, not only in the United States but around the world, is known as MSG, which is short for monosodium glutamate. Not only does MSG give flavor-enhancing properties to food, but it's also associated with a bunch of different forms of toxicity. MSG has been linked with obesity, metabolism problems, damage to reproductive organs, and even neurotoxic effects, meaning that it's toxic to the brain. These health effects are so common in people who eat a lot of MSG that health researchers have even coined a term known as Chinese restaurant syndrome to describe a variety of symptoms associated with eating a lot of MSG. And these symptoms range from blistering in both of your arms, dizziness, loss of coordination, facial pressure, and even burning at the back of your neck. And it's important to recognize that this is not the only source of MSG. In fact, MSG is found in a wide range of products, ranging from Soups to sauces, processed meats, deli meats, instant noodles, seasonings, Parmesan cheese, chips, and the list goes on and on. So, in sum, if you see this ingredient listed on one of your food items, just be aware of some of the health effects that it can have if you consume in excess. Now, the last artificial food additive I'm going to cover are preservatives. There are many preservatives that are allowed in the United States, but the most common can be classified into four big groups: sorbates, benzoates, sulfites, and nitrates. Let's start with sorbates. You may find this class of preservatives listed under sorbic acid or sodium sorbate, and this is a preservative that's commonly found in baked goods, wine, cheese, and other products. Now, when it comes to benzoates, you may see this class listed on an ingredient label as sodium benzoate or benzoic acid, and this preservative is commonly found in salsas, jams, salad dressings, juices, pickles, fizzy drinks, soy sauce, and other liquid food items. Next are sulfites. You might see this listed as sulfites in wine or as sulfur dioxide in canned fruits and other products. The last artificial group I'm going to talk about are nitrates, which also may be listed as nitrites, and the most common place you can find these are preserved meats, specifically deli meats. These artificial food, even though the United States Food and Drug Administration claims that these artificial preservatives are safe to use in food, studies suggest otherwise. Health studies on the impacts of nitrates and nitrites have found that these additives can damage your thyroid gland, impact your body's ability to deliver oxygen throughout your organism, and also increase the risk for certain types of cancers. I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem very appealing to me. And now that's not to say that all food preservation is bad. In fact, it's thanks to advances in food preservation that we've been able to store food for longer and decrease food waste. But when we use artificial chemicals to preserve our food is when it can become a higher health risk. Now that we're on this note, let's transition into what can we do about it. So, starting with food preservation, there are many different ways that humans have been preserving food for thousands of years. It's an ancient practice, and some of these food preservation methods are chemical-based, including fermentation and canning, while others are more physical, like refrigerating and freezing, drying and dehydrating, and salting food. If you get a chance to try any of these methods out, it can be a way to reduce food waste in your own kitchen and also avoid some of the nasty side effects from eating foods with preservatives. On this note, as I do in every episode, I invite you to simplify your routine. Simplify, simplify, simplify. The less you consume, the less likely you are to come into contact with ingredients and additives that are harmful to your health. And this is especially true when it comes to food. What I like to do is when I go to the grocery store, I stick to the produce section. And unless I have a very specific need in the aisles of the grocery store, I avoid going altogether. On this note, if you choose to buy prepackaged food, make sure you take a moment to read the ingredients and remember not to trust the label at face value. This is what we talked about in episode 3, talking about how labels can be misleading to consumers and make it more likely for you to trust a product. On this note, if you need some assistance while you're shopping, I recommend you use an app on your smartphone to help you determine what is in their food. there's an app called Yuka, Yuka, that allows you to scan product labels and it analyzes the health impact of both food and cosmetic products. For food products, this app points out additives in the ingredients and allows you to make a more informed decision when shopping. Lastly, I invite you to do an audit of your diet. Pick a day and analyze how many prepackaged and ultra-processed food items you eat on a daily basis. You don't necessarily have to count the calories, but more so counting the number of items that you eat that have these artificial food additives can give you a better idea of areas where you can simplify your diet and protect your short-term and long-term health from some of the gnarly health effects that we covered in today's episode. My body is a vessel that I will carry for my entire life, and I aim to treat it with care. I release the need for products that contain harmful chemicals that can harm my body. My body is a vessel that I will carry with me throughout my entire life, and I aim to treat it with care. I release the need for harmful chemicals that can harm my body. In the next episode, we're going to be talking about forever chemicals and answering the question as to why are there forever chemicals in my water? I hope this episode has expanded your awareness about the world around you and provided you with new knowledge and actions you can take in your personal life and beyond to embrace a toxic-free future. Share this podcast with someone you think could enjoy it, and join the movement and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode release. For the fully annotated podcast transcripts, visit foragerworldwide.com and follow us on Instagram at foragerworldwide for more radiant living tips. Thank you so much for listening. This episode was written by Flor de Santo.